continuing in our series in Ephesians, and I want to zero in on chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. As an introduction to this message, I'd like us just to listen to a song together. We all need to be motivated, don't we, into serving the Lord, motivated to do what we're made to do. Because clearly we see that we are a new creation. We're God's creation, and we are his workmanship, and created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for us to do. So first we need to remind ourselves that we are his masterpiece, for we are God's workmanship. And that word workmanship in the Greek, it sounds a bit like the English word for poem, and refers to a composition or a construction, and it was used to refer to any finished piece of work or art. So whether that was a statue or a song or a poem or a painting, and that's the finished work. And here we have the emphasis upon us being the workmanship of the Lord Jesus. The emphasis is on God and takes us right back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created. We are his creation. We are his masterpiece. God has made us in the image of his Son. God has made us in the image. And as the fact that he has made us, that gives us an amazing value, worth, and dignity. And perhaps as we realize that and consider that and think about that again and again, that would really affect the way that we treat other people. If we understand that God has made us in the image of his Son, we are his masterpiece with amazing value, it would affect the way that we value other people. And that we're amazing worth. And then we would make sure that we don't do anything to harm our brothers and sisters or other people. And the dignity that we give other people. We are an original. That is what God's word tells us. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 6. Is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you? And Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We're his masterpiece. He created us. Isaiah 42 and verse 21. The people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. We will serve the Lord, not when we say, oh, there's a need, we need to make sure that we fulfill it. There's a gap here in this ministry. We need everybody to come and help on that. No, we won't serve because perhaps there's necessarily a need. We will serve when we fall in love with Jesus. We will serve when we fall more in love with the Master, because service is an outflowing of a growing relationship with our Lord Jesus. Servants serve because of their devotion to the Master. And what we do must flow from who we are. The motivation for ministry must be our love for the Lord Jesus. There's a danger in a sermon series in Ephesians. There's a danger in a sermon series in any subject, for that matter, because we look at it and we will either feel guilty, I'm not really doing enough, or then on the other side, we'll say, oh, yes, I'm going to run around and do things. So we run around like crazy trying to do more. The key is growing more in love with Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We will understand that he has made us. His love for us is in his response to us becomes our motivation for ministry. Not just because there's a need, but I love Jesus and I want to serve him as he has told us. We're his masterpiece. We've become his masterpiece. And we must value and enjoy our relationship with the Lord and serve him accordingly. We need to grow in love with Jesus more and more each day. And Psalm 63 in verse 3 says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free." We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to think that we, individuals, sometimes we think we're little insignificant individuals. But the great creator God, the Almighty, has made us, created us, and we're his masterpiece. When you see a work of art, a masterpiece, you look at it and you say, "Wow, that is amazing." When God looks at us, he says, "Wow, amazing." Isn't that special to be his masterpiece? And also, secondly, we need to see that we are in Christ, created in Christ Jesus. The word created means to bring something into existence and was used in the New Testament to describe God's creativity. We are Christians. If we're Christians, we are in Christ Jesus. Not only are we his masterpiece, but we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 gets us right to the heart of that truth. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." Galatians 6 and verse 15 adds, "What counts is a new creation." And those two words, "in Christ," summarize what salvation is all about. Once someone has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we are connected to him. And his righteousness is transferred to our account, resulting in redemption and justification. We're accepted. We're secure, we're significant, and we are free from those things that bound us and brought us down. Romans 8 and verse 1. Listen to this verse. You could respond to this verse after you hear it, if you like. Romans 8 and verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Not very convincing. Let's try again. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Amen. Yes, that's more. Yes. 89 different times in the New Testament, it describes Christians as being in Christ. So we're either in Christ or in Adam, lost, saved or lost, redeemed or not redeemed, in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness, on the road to heaven or on the road to hell. It's an either or, not just one. It's one or the other. And if you're sure that you're in Christ, that's wonderful. We can praise the Lord. But maybe you say, "Oh, I'm not really quite sure about that. Not really sure whether I've actually joined all the bits together. Not really sure whether I am in Christ or not." Well, look at Ephesians chapter 2. That's what you need. And you're going from being brought to life from being dead. You can go as you trust the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can go from being dead in your trespasses and sins, being the object of God's wrath, to being made alive in Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places. And again, verse 10, Ephesians 2. is true, hopefully, of our individual lives. And it can be if you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are in Christ. A little boy was carrying his boat that he'd just made down to the river, carefully placed it into the water, and slowly let the string out as the boat drifted downstream. He admired the boat that he'd built, marveled that it's floating on water. Suddenly, there was a strong current that took the boat away. The boy tried to pull it back to shore, but the string broke, and the little boat raced downstream and soon slipped out of sight. All afternoon, he searched for his boat. Finally, because the darkness came, he had no option but to just sadly go home. A few days later, as he was returning home from school, he walked past a second-hand shop and spotted the boat in the second-hand shop. And a closer look, sure enough, that's the boat that he'd made. Here it is in the second-hand shop window. "That's my boat," he went to the manager and said. "That's my boat. I made it." The manager replied, "Sorry, but someone else brought it in this morning. If you want it, you'll have to buy it." He rushed home and got some money together, went back and bought his own boat. And he was thinking, "Now this boat is twice mine. First, I made it. Now I've bought it." And if you're a born-again Christian, if you trust the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you belong to God twice. He made you as a masterpiece, and now he's bought you back with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. So you're his creation, and now you're recreated, restored, and remade. And we've been born twice. That's why sometimes it's called, you know, a second birth, isn't it? We've been born twice. So there's absolutely no question whatsoever who we belong to. He is mine, and I am his forever and forever. We are his masterpiece. We are in Christ because we are saved. Once you figure out who you are and what God has done for us, we can then figure out why we're here. What's the purpose of life? Why has God placed me here in this particular church at this particular time? Ephesians 2:10, to do good works. The word good here is something that is profitable for the benefit of others. And the word work reminds us that it involves effort. When you go to work, you don't say, "Well, that's a breeze." Well, you might do, I don't know. It's effort, isn't it? It takes effort to work. And here's the same idea with this word. It's an effort by nature. We are selfish, focusing on just three people. That's generally the case for each one of us. We're selfish and focused on three people: me, myself, and I. That's all it was interested in. And I suppose we can think about the evangelical history and we can see why we've arrived at that particular point, because most evangelicals have turned away from that phrase, good works. Because we know that we're not saved by good works, and that's obviously true. But because of God's great work in our lives, we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Good works are not the root of salvation, but the fruit of saving faith. They are not the way of salvation. Some people say, that they can work their way to salvation. That's impossible. So good works are not the way of salvation, but the walk of salvation. A person is not saved by good works, but a saved person works for the Lord. That's why we need to understand that we have to serve him out of a motivation of love. He loved us. I love him. I'll do whatever he tells me to do. Matthew 5 and verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. And 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says a similar sort of thing. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good works. And Titus 3, 8. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want to stress these things so that those who've trusted the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior will be very, very careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. We are saved. Praise the Lord. Because we're going to heaven one day. He's with us every moment of every day to help us and to see us through. But we're saved to serve. And we're created in Christ Jesus to care for each other and the world in which he's given us. And we are being prepared. God is preparing us for good works. That's amazing, isn't it? And God has prepared good works for us. The deeds that God wants us to do have been chosen beforehand. That's a bit mind-boggling, isn't it? That this great creator God chose us before the creation of the world, and he has chosen the good works that he wants us to do beforehand as well. And it's an amazing truth that our good works have been prepared for us and everyone who have been born again. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And David said a similar sort of thing in Psalm 139 and verse 16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. If you flip over to Ephesians chapter 1, in particular verse 11, we'll see that we have been predestined to salvation. But then the next chapter, verse 10, that we're looking at in Ephesians 2, we see how we are how we're to serve, and our serving has been predetermined. So we've been predestined and predetermined what we should do. Our deeds are selected for us. Now we must make sure that we do them. God has them for us, worked it all out. We need to just get on with it. That phrase, it says it there, doesn't it? To do. Literally means to go here and there and get on with the job. We don't have to search hard for what God wants us to do every day. He wants us just to do it. We just need to walk in the way that he has prepared for us. We don't have to try and figure all out what we should do and what we shouldn't do. God has already taken care of that. And as we are in love with him, and as we spend time with him, and as we seek to honor him, he will reveal to us what he wants us to do. It's not up to us to find out what we can we do. I want something to do for the Lord. Sometimes I wonder how many times I've missed the good works that God has prepared for me due to my selfishness, busyness, or sinfulness. That's easy, isn't it? Just to miss out on what God has prepared us to do because we're selfish, busy, or sinful. But having said that, we can take great comfort in the fact that God is sovereign. comfort in God's sovereignty, knowing that he will use someone else to meet the need that he intended me to meet. I've just missed out on the blessing of being a blessing to someone else. We need to run to God, not away from him. Simply follow the steps that God has prepared for us in advance to do. Proverbs 20, 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So, if that's the case, how can we perhaps apply that a little bit more in our lives? So let's just look then, going back over where we've just come from. We can accept our obligation and say, yeah, okay, I get it, I'll do that. Because we are a masterpiece, his masterpiece, we need to do what we're meant to do. We need to make sure that our doing is out of our being. Because we love the Lord, because he is our Savior, then we will serve him. When we're growing in grace, we can give in grace. Not because we have to, oh, there's a job nobody else would do. But because we're in love with the Lord Jesus and our being is saved, we're immersed in the Lord Jesus, I'll serve him. Because doing, our doing has to come out of our being. And work for God is an honor, isn't it? Not a hassle, not burdensome, but an honor to serve him. When Sir Christopher Wren was directing the building of St. Paul's Cathedral, some of the workmen were interviewed by a journalist who asked them, "What are you doing here?" The first workman said, "I'm cutting stone for 3 shillings a day." The second replied, "I put in 10 hours a day to keep my family." The third replied, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren build a great cathedral for the glory of God." And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing out of our being for the glory of God. Everything we do and say is for his glory and his praise. Isn't that wonderful that we can be involved in that? We're in Christ. And as we're in Christ, little is much when God is in it. If he's prepared a good work for us to do, nothing will ever be too small for the Savior. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 10 and verse 20 and in verse 42. "If anyone gives a cup of cold water in my name, or to these little ones in my name, he will bless us." What's it say? "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." We need to care so that we even do little things for the Lord, little things towards other people, because little is much when God is in it. When Sir Winston Churchill returned from South Africa, he was at home. They invited lots of dignitaries and friends round for dinner. Some lady came up to Winston Churchill and said, "I don't like your politics, and I don't like your moustache." Without a blinking, Winston Churchill replied and said, "Madam, I see absolutely no reason why you come into contact with either." In other words, couldn't care less what you say. And so often, our attitude is one of couldn't care less. But if we're in Christ, we'll do even little things for the glory of God, because little is much when God is in it. We're saved. God has prepared something for us to do. So every day we need to pray, "Lord, give me good works that you've prepared, or show me those good works that you've prepared for me today. Help me to do what you've already planned." And I think it's important to pay particular attention to those interruptions you have, because they may be opportunities that God has prepared for us. So often, isn't it true? So often, disappointments are God's appointment. And we need to be in touch with him, in tune with him, in step with him, so that we can bring glory to his name. And then finally, we see that we are being prepared. Simply take the next step. Simply get on with it. Sometimes it's a bit overwhelming, isn't it? When we think of the complexity of what we're meant to be doing and the difficulty there is in serving, just do the next thing. And people who are living the happiest say, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because your love, because of your love and your faithfulness." So what are we actually saying? How are we going to pull it all together? Well, God, by his amazing grace, chose us, and he chose to use us. And that's a statement, not a statement of how much he loves us or how much he values us, but a statement to show that his power is on display in our lives. Our ministry is not so much measured by our worth, but by the cross. And God uses us, not because we're great, not because this, that, and the other, but because he wants to use us. He doesn't need us. I don't know whether you remember, I don't know, 12 years ago, when I think I was standing there, and we were thinking and trying and considering the new build at the back and the refurbishment. And I made a statement you probably can't remember. I remember because I said it. And I said, "Well, God doesn't need us. God doesn't need you to give because he's got it all. For all the money that we need for the project at the back, God doesn't need you to give it, but he wants you to. He wants us to be involved. He wants, you know, he doesn't need us. But amazing, out of love, he says, you can be involved. You'll be blessed as you are involved in that." And he doesn't need us, but he wants us to serve him. And he has fearfully and wonderfully created us uniquely in his image. And we are recreated by the power of the resurrection. That's available to us as individuals. And we've been purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And he calls us his very own. We must stop comparing ourselves with others and other churches, and just rest in the sovereignty, the compassion, and the wisdom of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He did so before the foundation of the world so that we could serve him to the glory of God. Let's just do it. Start today. Let's pray.